training lesson, Psalms chapter 12, Psalm 12. Psalm 12, and we're going to read verse number 6 and 7. Our basic training lesson this week is about the Bible, and I want to challenge you about the subject of God's Word and making sure we have this, the subject of trusting in God's holy, perfect Word as our only authority for our convictions, beliefs, and practice in our lives. It's so, so important. Psalms 12, verse number 6. Would you read verse number 6 and 7 with me out loud? Would you do that with me? Psalms 12, and we'll read verse number 6 and 7 out loud all together. Ready and begin. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. As we look at the subject of the Word of God, does it matter what Bible you use? Many people say it doesn't matter what Bible you use as long as you use a Bible. It doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you have a church that you go to. It doesn't matter what you believe in for salvation as long as you have a belief in a God or a way of salvation. And those are all very clearly lies from the devil. The subject of the Bible has been attacked since creation. It's been attacked since the Garden of Eden. God made Adam and Eve, placed them in the Garden of Eden, gave them one rule: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, in the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And Satan came very quickly, and he came to Eve as she was near the tree. That was a mistake. Don't go near the tree, and don't listen to the devil. Right? Sometimes we blame the devil for temptation. Don't go over there. Don't talk to him. Right? He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And Satan came to Eve in the form of a serpent. And he said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall not surely die. What did Satan begin doing? He started changing God's words. You know, the Bible says, add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, thou be found a liar. If you add to or take from God's word, the Bible says, you have your part in the lake of fire. I believe that God is very, very clear on the subject of the Word of God and how important it is, how precious it is, and how valuable it is. And so I want to challenge you about the subject of the Word of God. We've looked at the subjects in basic training on salvation. You must know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you don't have that assurity, that assurance of your salvation, you need to go back to step number one. Go back to the basics, the fundamentals. Know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you don't know that, you need to get that settled. We talked, preached last week on the subject of prayer. Having a walk with God, once you get saved, it opens up that avenue, that line of communication with God in prayer, that we can come boldly onto the throne of God anytime, anywhere. God wants to hear from His children. So we talked about prayer. Now, today about the subject of the Bible. Why don't we pray as we get into the lesson? I'll pray again. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Please bless the message that we need today from God's holy word about the Word of God. Lord, may we, if there's someone here that don't have a conviction with the Bible, I pray that they would see from the Word of God and understand and build a biblical conviction about the Bible. Maybe it's about putting trust in God's Word. Whatever it may be, Lord, would you please do a work in a great way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, meaning alive. It's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You realize what we hold in our hand is not just a book. It's not just a book. The word of God is alive. Amen? It's powerful. It's active, it's working, it is piercing. That God's Word works in your life, in my life, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible says that God's Word will not return unto Him void. And so when God's Word is preached or read or quoted or memorized, God's Word is so, so powerful in our lives. Many of you, as well as I do, probably own a half a dozen Bibles. Probably many of you do. Maybe a couple, maybe a lot, maybe some that you bought or been gifted, maybe some that have been passed down from mother or father or someone that's maybe gone to heaven, and that's something that you keep and you hold near and dear to you. I have, I have three or four Bibles in my office of personal Bibles. I have a couple at home. Either way, the importance is not how many Bibles you own, right? Owning a bunch of Bibles doesn't make you spiritual, right? I have six Bibles and you carry them all to church. Now, sometimes I go out of church and I'm carrying my Bible, my wife's Bible, my daughter's Bibles. Hopefully theirs isn't in a purse while I'm having to carry it. But carrying a Bible doesn't make you spiritual. Owning a Bible doesn't make you spiritual. What do you do with the Bible that God gave to you? And do you have the correct one? And so that's something we're going to look at today about the subject of God's holy word. Can you imagine life without God's word? What this world is today with God's word and what it would be without it? You know this very clearly. When you start kicking God's word out of schools, out of homes, out of governments and in our country, you start getting to a place of darkness that's void of a moral compass from God. You see that in countries where there is not a belief in God, and people that maybe are atheistic or polytheistic and believe in others' gods, or they have they don't trust in God's word. You see how society is dropping and living in darkness away from the working of God. The Bible is the number one best-selling book, if you will, of all time. The New York Times stopped publishing the Bible as a top seller, but it's estimated between 5 to 7 billion Bibles printed in the last 1,500 years. Billions of Bibles printed. We have the blessing of getting to support several missionaries that their sole purpose is about printing the Word of God and getting it all around the world. Translating the Bible to get it to countries all around the world that have no portion of God's Word at all in their language. That's really sad. And yet in America, we have an abundance of God's Word. My Bible was gifted to me by my cousin at this Bible I have here at my college graduation. And Brother Wilson kindly rebound it for me when I tore it apart after a few years, and it's now indestructible. You know, I try to keep it nice, but there's something about this Bible that I hold, right? I don't know about you, maybe you bring a different Bible with you each time, or you read from one, or study from one. I'm not sure how you do that, but there's something about this Bible, right? Read it numerous times, and preached from it many, many times, And I know where the verses are on a page. I can picture it in my mind. I know where to go to. I have an underline and notes written in the corners and different things. I love God's holy word. It's changed my life. We were at this party yesterday for my dad, and they invited a number of people, some family I hadn't seen in a long time, and a couple that came has become very close friends with my dad. He loves Subway. He's there for lunch every single day, and it's become his go-to. And anyway, but the owners there they come to the party because they're like best buddies now, and so it's pretty funny. And so they're from India, but their family immigrated to England, and so he's an Indian man with an English accent living in America, and so it's a strong accent that you know trying to decipher that. Anyway, I was talking to him yesterday. Very, very kind people, and don't believe they're Christians. I've tried witnessing to them before, and I was talking to him, and we'd go to work with my dad. He works in the pool service industry, and so you go home, like you go to work with dad. It doesn't matter how old you are. No, now the grandkids do that, but gone in to see him many times. Anyway, yesterday he was just saying. He's like, where did your faith come from? And he says with his strong accent, which I can't duplicate, where did your faith come from? And I was just talking about God, how God changed my life. God and the Word of God and church being saved. And I was trying to explain it to him briefly. It was really loud, just, you know, different things going on there. How the Word of God has changed my life. God's holy word, has it changed your life? Right? Where would your life be without God's holy word? I want to go over a couple of common questions about the Bible Many of you have heard or maybe thought of these questions before, so let's look at some answers about this. How do I know that I have God's Word? How do I know that I have God's Word? When there's so many translations out there, there's hundreds of translations that you could go to and you could just, you know, pick it off the shelf. You could just, you know, and to be honest, many of the Bibles, they're a dime a dozen. And there's always a new translation coming out, the flavor of the month. How do I know that I hold in my hands the very Word of God? Well, let me ask you this. Does it matter to you? Do you want the best translation you can get, a good translation, or do you want to have God's holy Word in your hands? My lettering has worn off. It doesn't say anything out here anymore. But your Bible probably says, it probably says Holy Bible on it. And there's only one Holy Bible, right? It's God's Holy Word in the English-speaking language. You believe that you hold in your hands the very Word of God. I'm talking about the King James Bible. Amen? Listen, I'm talking about the King James, not the New King James, not the ESV, the RSV, the NIV, and all the other ones you come up with. It's ridiculous the amount of translations. Just why are there so many translations? Because they want one that fits every person, right? Well, this one is for this nationality and this type of person and this type of church. Well, we're getting the Bible to fit people, which is completely opposite of what it should be, that we are supposed to fit God's Word, not God's Word to fit us. Isn't the Bible just in the originals? If the Bible's in the originals, then you must learn Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. Anyone in here know those languages fluently? No? One of my dad's cousins, she was there, and she married a man from Greece. And so they understand Greek. I don't understand Greek. Not a bit. All right? I go to study, and I'll look up some words and your Strong's Concordance and see the reference notes there and the definitions and all that to help understanding there. And but I don't understand those. I can't hardly read, you know, the one word they're trying to tell me there. So if we have to know if it's only the Bible's only in the originals, then you need to start learning Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and you need to start learning those so you can read in the originals. But let me ask you this, where are the originals in? Right? So I believe this, that God has preserved, as we read in these words, that God has preserved His Word as God has promised for every generation. All right? So how do I know that I have God's holy Word? So let's understand this, first of all, under this point. God's Word is eternal. God's Word is eternal. It's not just for this generation. It's not just for people in the United States of America. It's for every generation, for every group, every people. The Bible did not start on a certain date. It was given to man at certain times, but it is eternal. That God used men to pen the Word of God, not to write it. You understand the difference? God used man to pen the Word of God, word for word, what God gave to man, and man wrote that down word for word as God gave it to them. But the Bible says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Not forever from that date forward, from that date previous and forward. God's word is in heaven before Moses was ever used to write the first five books of the Old Testament. God's word was in heaven before David or Solomon or Paul was used to pen the word of God. God's word is eternal and is in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Isaiah 40, verse number 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." In our history, there's been some dark times of persecution to where if you were found with a copy of the Word of God, you'd immediately be killed. Burned at the stake, you, your family, anyone else. There was times in history with persecution where the Bible was changed to a pulpit in a church. If you were found with it, you'd be killed. No one was allowed to have it. I'm thankful that we have the eternal Word of God. Here's the thing. There's nothing that man can do to destroy God's words. You can change it and get a false version of the Bible, but you cannot destroy anything that God creates. Nothing. Satan's been attacking and trying to change that from the Garden of Eden. He's been attacking the authority of God and of God's Word and of earthly authority. He attacked all those in the Garden of Eden, and he's still doing it today. Satan cannot destroy it, so he's going to try to change it. He's going to give you a counterfeit, something that looks like another, that seems close, but it's not the real deal. You've heard it said before, if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it isn't new, right? You know, kids today, oh, this is new, you know, this is a new style. You're like, they were doing that 50 years ago. You're just bringing it back around again, just recycling a hairstyle, a clothing style, a music style. It may vary and change over time, but it's just recycling the same things over and over again. So man's not going to create anything new, and especially not going to create anything new that's better than how God created it. So God's word's eternal. Number two, God's word is inerrant or perfect. God's word is inerrant. Without error, it is perfect. As we read already in Psalms 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are what? Pure words. They're pure. They're perfect. You cannot improve on perfection. You know, there's nothing in life that we're going to find other than what God has done that's perfect, right? We live we're sinners, sinful nature, things decaying around us. Why? Because it's getting closer to the Lord's return. So things are not getting better. Look around. Listen to the news. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And so to say, I'm going to take God's word and make it better, all you're going to do is take something that's perfect. Something that's perfect is never going to get better. It's already at the top. It's going to get dumbed down to man. And that's really what changing the word of God is trying to dumb it down to man. That's what our educational system is trying to do, right? Look at the public school system. Look at it's dumbing down education. Why? Because kids' grades they're not passing, so we need to dumb down the instruction that's given to them. Let's take away courses so we just pass them along. We're failing, all right? We're failing. We need to bring the level up, not down. The Bible says that God's word is are pure words, silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven is the number of perfection. Proverbs 30, would you turn there for a moment? Verse number 5 and 6. I hope that this message today either just confirms on your heart to have the perfect word of God and to never change it, or to build your biblical conviction about the word of God. Proverbs 30, just one book over, verse number 5 and 6, it says this. I want you to read these first six words of me. Six words. All right, ready? Proverbs 30, verse number 5. The Bible says this. Ready? Begin. Every word of God is pure. All right, so we'll stop there for just a moment. How many words of God are pure? Every one. So which one is not important enough that we can just take it out? Which word does man have a better explanation for it to change it? I was reading about it even this morning. I'm getting way ahead of myself in my notes. But the common flavor of our generation now is the ESV. Wicked. And the ESV, it's supposed to, you know, it was the New King James, and that was supposed to be, you know, close but not quite the same thing. And the New King James, as per those that authored the changes of the New King James, their purpose of what they specifically said, it was a bridge to get people away from the Word of God to other versions of the Bible. That's what they clearly said. The ESV, they've already had a revision. And the revisions, if you go look at the revisions from the ESV from even when it first was changed from God's word to what it is now, and they're changing it even more. It's a gender-inclusive Bible, where they're literally changing from he to she. Is that not an attack on God and society and his word today? We think, well, it's just another Bible. No, it's not just another Bible. It's attacking God. You don't understand? Say, well, it's easy for me to understand. No, it's attacking God's words. All right? The Bible says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God's word is perfect all the way through. And if God's word isn't perfect, then where is it not right? If you find an error in one place, then there must be an error in another place. You ever proofread a document that you had to write or something you're going to print, and you're like, I'm sure there's a spelling or a punctuation error somewhere. You're like, oh, and you go through it and you find it. You're like, I know there's one somewhere else, and your brain just can't see it. And you print it out, you send it out, and you're like, ah, I can't believe I missed that one. See, man's not going to get it perfect ever, but God is. Amen? Every historical fact in the Bible, perfect. Every prophecy, perfect. Every place, perfect. Every person, exactly how God wanted it. There's not a single error. God's word, first of all, it's eternal. It's inerrant. It's perfect. It is preserved. We talked about that a bit already. In Psalms 12, verse number 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Look at this. Not us. If we had to keep it, well, we'd make a mistake. You know, oops, I forgot about it. You know, did I mess it up somewhere? No. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Where? In heaven. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God made a promise that we'll have God's word forever. The Bible says God's word will stand forever. Number two, how do we get our Bible? God gave his word through inspiration. Inspiration, meaning God breathed. God breathed. If you would turn over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's look at a few scripture verses today. How did we get our Bible then? If it was in heaven, how did we get it? God gave us his word through inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. I'll have you turn to one passage after this, I believe. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture, that's very important, is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. God breathed. It came from the breath, from the mouth of God. And said, I want you to put this down exactly as I give it to you. See, an attack and why people would say it doesn't matter what version you have is because the versions are translated by the thoughts. It's the thoughts that matter. All right? That'd be like today going to the law of our land. You go to the law in California, in our city, and you said, well, I didn't interpret the law that way. I just thought it was the thought that mattered, not the actual words of the law. No, I think the words of the law do matter, don't they? Amen, not just the thoughts. So modern translations say, well, it's the thoughts that matter. As long as it's the general theme of what God was saying. I'll give you a few points on that here in a little bit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's profitable. It's good in my life. Kind of like exercising. It's profitable. God says it profiteth little, which means it still profiteth some, all right? Exercising is profitable. Eating good is profitable. Going to work, paying your bills, that's profitable, right? God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Can you really trust in a six-day creation? Or what about the theory of evolution? That it, you know, this earth evolved over either millions or billions or trillions of years, not sure which one it was. That something evolved from something to nothing. That takes more faith than just to believe that God spoke everything to existence in six literal 24-hour periods. That's the faith you can have in God's word. You can trust and believe in a six-day creation, in the flood, in Jesus, in heaven and hell, in the resurrection and eternal life. Everything in your life should have a foundation of beliefs that go back to the word of God. Again, if you don't believe that you have the holy, perfect, inspired word of God, then it's, well, what do I think is right? Well, what do they think is right? Well, maybe another translation has it better. No, I have to believe that this is God's word and base everything in my life on the word of God. God inspired his word, and he used man to pen it down. 40 men over 1,600 years in three different languages. God used man to pen down the Bible. There's no way 40 men over 1,600 years in three different languages could have possibly gotten all the prophecy right. There's no way. I heard before said, if you were to take all the prophecy in the Bible, and if you were to say, okay, there are certain things that even just with the life of Jesus that he could have determined to get that right, knowing the previous prophecy. If you took even those prophecies out, which were not, but for sake of the argument, and there are 8 prophecies that Jesus could not have controlled if he wasn't God and if God's not real, the chances that Jesus of getting those 8 right was like 1 in 10, I think it was 1 in like 10 trillion, that he could have got all 8 of those perfectly right, just as the Bible prophesied. So can we trust God's word? Yes, we can. Oh, yes, you can. There's no way man could have gotten all that right. Not a chance. Why? We're always redefining science, math, all what? Man can't, we can't figure things out even today, much less over 1,600 years. You know, you get to read a news article, new study, you should be doing this. What happens tomorrow? New study, you shouldn't be doing that. Man can't get it right. So there's no way that the Bible came from man. Did man write the Bible? Man penned it as God gave it to him. I wanted you to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I believe I'll have you stop from continuing to turn after that. I want to get to a few points at the end to help you with this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." You know, that means that you don't take one verse out of context and say, this one verse says this one thing, I'm going to disregard the rest of the Bible and create a false belief and false religion on that one verse. That's how most false religions have began. The private interpretation of one verse, all right? "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Man didn't get together and said, "Ooh, we need to write a really good book. We need to, this is going to be great. It's going to be a bestseller." "It came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were," what's the next word? "Moved by the Holy Ghost." Moved. That God literally moved the pen and the hand of the writer to put down exactly as God gave to them. Could man have gotten it all perfect? Not a chance. Not even close. So God moved on man as he penned the word of God. We covered that subject a bit already, so I'll move on from here. So why are there so many versions? There's over 900 Bibles in the English language since the 1500s. 900 Bibles. You could look it up, and there's so many different numbers of how many Bibles it could be. Either way, hundreds of Bibles. Why would that be? Well, the Bible says God is not the author of what? Confusion. No, 900 Bibles, that is confusion. I think about this sometimes. If I was a lost person in Redding, California, and I thought, what church do I go to? What Bible's even real? How can you really know how to go to heaven? There's so much out there. How would I know is the right way? You ever think about that? How would I know what church to go to and what Bible to use? And how would I know that at all? That confusion comes from Satan. More Bibles, more religions, more false teachers pointing people in the wrong direction. How do I know which one to use? Again, know that Satan is attacking God's word. He had been and still is today. Why are there so many versions? Because Satan's attacking and changing God's words, which is now no longer God's words, right? Number 2, man changes the Bible for better understanding. That's probably the number one reason why even Bible-believing Christians change their Bible, because say, I have better understanding with another version. Again, do we want to bring the Bible down to our level, or to bring our understanding up to God's level? Right? And I suggest we bring our understanding up. Get a dictionary. Right? Use a concordance. Do some studying. God's word is written perfect on purpose. You say, but there's all the ye and thee and thou. God's word is perfect. If you understand this, in the English language, if I say you, that can mean you individually or you plural. In God's word, it's written specifically, and ye and your, thee and thou, is written to be singular or plural based on what word the Bible's using. And so that's why we don't want to dumb down the word of God to our understanding. We want to grow our understanding to God's word. Number three, why are there so many versions? Man rewrites the Bible to fit his beliefs, right? False religion. Someone had a false belief, and they say, I want to have 100 wives. I'm going to start a new religion. Well, that's wicked, right? I want everyone to give me all their money, so I'm going to start a false religion. I want people, once their loved ones pass away, and they don't know they're in heaven, they pay me a whole lot of money so they can somehow get to heaven. That is wicked beyond belief, wicked, right? And we want it to fit our beliefs. Well, this is no longer wrong, so let's just take that verse out of the Bible. Let's just change it, because today I don't believe that. Again, and then starting false religions. Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, it says, For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Do you think God is pretty serious about the subject of his word? Right? It's the truth. And if it gets changed, it's no longer the truth. So let me ask you this. Does it matter what version that you use? And the answer is yes. It matters what version. It matters what Bible you use. Let me ask you this. When you're sick, do you go to the store and say, it doesn't matter what medication I use. Just give me some kind of medication. Right? It doesn't matter. I'll just take something or everything. I'm sure if I take everything, it's going to be good for me. That sounds pretty foolish, doesn't it? Right? Why would I do that? I need something that's right. I want to go to get the right doctor, the right medication, the right diagnosis for exactly what I need. Well, that's what the Bible is for us. So you say, well, it doesn't really matter. No, it does very much matter. Very much. Should you just use whatever Bible you like best? Or pick the latest version, one that might seem to improve or to fit your beliefs? I've covered some of these before, but I want, in years past, I want to go over this for a few minutes. Three common versions that people use today that is a common change from using the King James Bible to using another Bible. Number one is the New King James. Many people would say, well, it's not the King James, but it's close enough. The New King James was published in 1982. So you're saying that. So let me ask you this. If that's the Bible you use, do you believe that that is the perfect, inspired, perfect word of God that you hold in your hands? Do you believe that? You'd live or die based on that Bible right there. That it was only written just over 40 years ago. Takes out all the old English words, thee, thou. It translates the thoughts instead of the words. The New King James takes out 22 times the word hell is used. 23 times the word blood is used. 44 times they take them out, the word repent. 50 times they take out the word heaven. 51 times take out the word God. 66 times takes out the word Lord and the name Jehovah, not in the New King James at all. So it's close enough, right? No, that's changing God's word. And again, the New King James was specifically written by those that translated it to be a bridge to even a worse translation. All right, I'm not attacking if you use another version of the Bible. You don't have to confess to me and all that. I want you to build your biblical convictions about your Bible. All right? Another one, and I'll go briefly through these, is the NIV. The NIV has taken out approximately 64,000 words. Think about that for a minute. 64,000 words that they've taken out of the Bible to fit their beliefs. Right? They've taken out words like mercy seat, Jehovah, Godhead, other words like Calvary, Lucifer, New Testament, and regeneration. They take out verses and don't even bother to renumber them. Just take out a whole chunk and go from like 27 to 42 because they didn't like that portion of Scripture. The NIV translate the thoughts, not the words. We could get more into detail. I won't go further. Just want you to see that there's a huge difference. It's not just changing a couple thoughts, you know, a couple words here and there, it changes it very big. The ESV was created in 2001. It was based on the RSV. They've taken out about 20 verses from the Bible, meant to be gender inclusive, and it's still changing. All right? I was looking up a verse today. I think it was Genesis 3:16, if you look it up, I challenge you, look it up. If that's a version you kind of thought, oh, it might be decent. And it talks about that the woman is against her husband. They just made a revision recently. That the wife is against her husband, contrary to her husband. I went, what? Well, that sounds like a modern philosophy today, isn't it? And think about it. Satan is attacking the Word of God today. Very clearly. Satan is attacking the Word of God today. I challenge you to have a conviction about your Bible. A couple thoughts as we finish today. What should we do with our Bibles? Number one, read it. Read your Bible. In many ways, we have an ignorant society. We don't know history. We don't know our laws. We don't know God's Word. Society is dumbing down. We must, I don't know if master is the right word, because no one's going to master it. We must become Bible students. We must know our Bibles. Why are people tossed about by every wind of doctrine today? Because they don't know their Bible. They go, oh, that kind of sounds good. Instead of, nope, the Bible says this. I'm not changing on it. And you get back on course. Read your Bible. Number two, memorize the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Memorize your Bible. Study the Bible. Study it. Coming to church is not enough just to study your Bible. You read your Bible, you don't understand it. Study it. Study it. Look it up. Read a good commentary. Matthew Henry's a good commentary. Commentaries are written by man. Take that into consideration. No man is going to get a perfect commentary in the Bible. Matthew Henry would be a good commentary to read, going along with your Bible reading. It can be a little deep, all right, just to help you with that. Number four, listen to the Bible when it's preached. Bible, right? At Shasta Baptist Church, we preach the Bible. Amen? And if you think, oh, I don't know if that's true, look in the Bible. All right? And just because it's preached, it doesn't make it fact. Just because I say it, just because someone else says it behind this pulpit, doesn't make it fact. When it goes back to the Word of God, well, that is fact. Always go back to the Word of God. Listen to the Bible, and then obey it. Don't just read it, don't just listen to it, don't just study it, but live it. Right? We can't just have a head knowledge and be really smart here answering all the questions. We need to put it into practice in our lives. If you don't have a conviction about your Bible today, I pray that you develop and stand and have a biblical conviction, a personal biblical conviction, not just a modern conviction or something that's convenient for today, not just because, well, this is the Bible my mom gave to me, that's how I grew up. No, what is the Bible? What does the Bible say? We can go into much, much, much more detail on this subject, which we can't cover in a 30-minute lesson. Do you believe you hold in your hand the very Word of God? Hold it precious. Read it, study it, listen to it, and most importantly, live it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bless the message here about the Word of God, how important it is.